for Josiah and all the clergy present here in this holy community. You know what I understand today, before I let these wonderful catechumens sit, what I understand from both readings, from the epistle reading and from the gospel reading, St. Andrew has been called, was called by God to follow. To follow. So Andrew means a man, strong man, not muscles, but a man in his decision, a strong man in his faith, a strong man in his determination. So that's why, you know, like when we heard the teaching today from the epistle, in the epistle, epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. You know, we've heard persecutions, we've heard offenses, we've heard, you know, an apostle doesn't pay attention to all that. You know, every day, I tell you, my beloved, in catechumens and all the faithful, every day, I am subject to any kind of offenses. You know, we think that the bishop is like a prince. Big, you know, has power, and he can suspend people, can hurt people. No, this is not true. This is not true. You know, we don't need that kind of bishop. We need a father. We need a father. So the clergy, you know, like we teach them how to be fathers before anything else. So in the church we have one prince, in the church we have one king of all, that is the Lord of God. So therefore, beloved in Christ, today what we learn from this great feast of Saint Andrew, the patron and protector of this holy community, how to be good apostles. You are called to be apostles. You know, we have women apostles. We have Thecla, we have Barbara, we commemorate their names. Remember? Catherine. All these, you know, great women. And as well, we have gentlemen, we have men also. So the church, the faith is for everyone. All those who want to be saved, they have to listen to this message. You, I, the clergy, and everyone in this universe. So, we are called to be apostles. So take it seriously. I pray for you for sure. The church is going to pray for you for sure. Father Josiah loves you and he's going to pray for you. But also you have to do a lot of work. So be deep in your faith. Be committed, not like when the Bible tells us, you know, like the example, the parable of sower, of the sower. Like some seeds, you know, like fell on the surface. The sun burned all the seeds and burned. Another kind of seeds fell on very, you know, like this much of that. No moisture, no roots, no foundation. They died. Another kind, you know, like the birds of heaven, you know, came and ate the seeds gone. But the last kind of seeds, you know, made fruits. So you are the saints to make fruits. This faith is not only for you. In the beginning, it will be for you. But to sustain you, to strengthen you, and to guide you, and to teach you, and to grant you more and more wisdom. But at after that, you have to share it with everyone around you. You know, how is the church, you know, growing? Because, you know, this message doesn't belong to one person. Doesn't belong to me, doesn't belong to any individual by himself. So it does belong to every human being. So we have to share the good news. So carry this message seriously in your life, and when you are deep enough and you can, you know, like the apostle tells us that I believe and I speak. So if I don't have the faith, I cannot declare the faith. I cannot share it with anyone. So I have to work on myself, go for confession, not as a, you know, like ritual, but go for confession for purity, for a pure mind, a pure conscience, and that to enable me to see the whole picture, not a few things in the church and make a judgment. But I have to see the whole picture. And after that, you know, I will be with a good, solid foundation of the faith, and then I, you know, like the Bible tells us, let your light shine before all the people. So you are the beacon, you are the light to enlighten this world. Don't condemn, don't judge, because you waste your time. So just like humble yourselves and keep working in prayer. And you know, prayer, the best lesson ever for all of us, you and I and everyone. Prayer, not sentimental prayer, but deep prayer. When you put the icon, when you put the Bible, when you have some time to read, so do it with a prayer, and God will open many, many horizons before you. So I pray for you, beloved, to the humans, to be prepared, to be received, and to be not members, as we talk about membership, but to be, you know, partakers. It means that when you receive communion, you unite yourselves to Him, and to the body of the church. So I am sure God has called us to be here in this community, and I pray to Almighty God to bless your endeavors and to grant you all the wisdom and all the discernment day after day in order to grow in the faith. God bless you and God be with you. Please be seated. A few weeks ago that once a month, plus or minus, I will be here. And today, you know, like, what could be a better opportunity and feast than this great feast of this holy community? You know, the entire family rejoices and celebrates this great feast of St. Andrew. Beloved in Christ, we just finished today the Pan Orthodox clergy retreat for the past 3 days. And we had it this time for the first time as Pan Orthodox in Southern California. So the four hierarchs of the West were there. And 98 clergy were there. 98. When we had it in Northern California, we had less. Because it was, you know, just a new thing, you know, people and clergy, they need time to digest things and see how, you know, how we do things, you know, like maybe in the beginning, because it never happened before a few years ago, when we started as four hierarchs to make plans together and to lead our clergy and our faithful Sunday of Orthodoxy, for example. You know, like one day we do good, one day we don't, but we keep going and we have Sunday of Orthodoxy with the four hierarchs for a number of years in Southern California. This year, maybe this year in March, next March, we are shooting for to be in Northern California in order not to make an island between all the areas. But we are not abandoning, you know, Southern California. Southern California is important, and Pacific Northwest is important, and we have people, we have clergy, we have humans, we have to lead, you know, like everywhere. So this, our ministry in North America is so vast and so huge, we cannot ignore our people elsewhere. So the topic for the past 3 days was confession. But confession is not like the way, you know, like we do it in the churches. Like here we are trying, you know, we invited a deacon. Imagine a deacon was teaching, was lecturing us, even the four hierarchs present, you know, like there. So doesn't matter. And it came to my attention from someone by email, how can a deacon teach clergy, for those who are practicing, you know, confession, how can a deacon teach on confession while he is not hearing confession? No, we don't think this way. I said yesterday or the day before in my remarks, I said, you know, like we don't look at the person, you know, like as a deacon or as a lay person or as a bishop or as, you know, in the first ecumenical council, I gave them this example. In the first ecumenical council, the star of that ecumenical council, 325, was who? St. Athanasius the Great, and he was a deacon, right? So therefore, whoever has the wisdom, whoever has the knowledge, whoever has the charisma, if you like, to teach, we let them teach. Now, in the Cathedral of Los Angeles, while I am present, for example, and I am not serving, so I let one of subdeacons give the homily. A subdeacon. Yes? So, 3 days we were listening to confession. The teaching was on confession. You know why? Why? You know, if we like to be apostles, if we like to become apostles, we cannot be apostles, we cannot be leaders, we cannot be deacons, we cannot be bishops, we cannot be priests, unless God is calling us to carry this ministry. It's not because I like Father Josiah, for example, I am here. No. God has to call every one of us. And you know what we say? What we say? God is at our door at all times. God is not, you know, like in one place. We say He is present everywhere and full of all things. So He is here. He is at your home. He is at your shop. He is at my humble corner, for example. He is with me at all times. And He is at my door knocking. Most of the time we don't listen. We don't pay attention to Him. So that's why. Confession helps us, beloved in Christ. Confession helps us cure. Confession helps us become, you know, like with a different wisdom, with a different philosophy, if you like, with a different agenda, with different priorities. So if I am not healed, you know, when they brought to Jesus that paralytic, and they asked him to heal him, before he healed his legs, before he said, go, carry your, you know, bed and leave, go home in peace, he said, your sins are forgiven. So the most important cure in our life, to handle sin. This is the ugliest thing in this world, sin. You know, when we hear about enemies in the church, some people, they think that this nation or that nation, or they, you know, their mind goes into politics. But we don't mean that. Our enemies, our enemy in singular is one, the evil one, and all his traps and snares. We don't have enemies, even if the people, you know, like, hate me, they are not my enemies. If at the airport or anywhere, you know, anywhere in this world, they offend me, say, thank you, God bless you. That is an honor. We heard it today. We heard it tonight. It's an honor. We try it once. Well, you'll see. We say, God bless you. So I have a million of examples, but we don't have time to share it, to share them tonight with you. But beloved in Christ, we were learning on confession and how to, not to fear confession. You know, the problem in the church that we have fear. We don't like to listen to Father Josiah, what he tells the people. You know, sometimes I am harsh. I am, myself, you know, I am harsh. But listen to this. One day, a priest in my diocese, I haven't heard from him like for a number of weeks. I called him. I said, how come, you know, like I didn't hear from you for a number of weeks. He said to me, Your Grace, Your Eminence, I'm afraid of talking to you. I said, why? He said to me, a few weeks ago, I was harsh on him. I said, fine. But how long my harshness, you know, took on you, for you, or against you? He started smiling. I said, look, my life is not an easy life. I am harsh on myself. I am telling the cross. I am not telling a joke. I am telling the cross. You know, when the people go, for example, for dinners, I don't have this kind of luxury. When people have company and have visitors and they enjoy themselves, I don't have that. My life is serious. My life is always, you know, carrying the cross. And that is an honor. I'm not complaining. I said, what's a big deal if I was harsh on you for 10 minutes, for example, or for 2-3 minutes? What about me? I am harsh on myself the rest of the year. And he apologized, and now he has a better understanding. So here we don't scare people, you know, like we want people to be saved. This is the bottom line. We want the people to be close to God. We want people to experience God in their life. We want people to be godly and holy people. This is our agenda. This is our, you know, like ministry. So if we're talking about apostleship, this is what it means, like, to be apostles. We have to endure any kind of hardship without any resentment. You know, even the Bible tells his disciples, if you go to a city and they don't accept you, leave. And even, you know, wipe the dust of your shoes. Let God, you know, handle a situation like this. You know, if I react if I offend people, we lose the moment. We lose the moment of calling people to the faith. So we learned a lot the past 3 days. But today, when we finished with the final remarks, the four bishops, the four hierarchs of the West, we, each one of us, said a few words. I remember my words, and I will say them to you tonight. I said, look, we might get knowledge on confession from books. We have iPad now. We have internet. We have everything. We are not far away from our office and from what we have, you know, in our library, on our shelves or in our office. We have everything traveling with us, so we are not far away from all what we need. We can go into these materials, you know, ourselves. But the most important thing is like to come together. 98 clergy together. We embrace each other in fellowship, in a healthy fellowship. That is the most powerful thing. So we are not teaching anything in you to our clergy, but we encourage them to embrace one another. We talk to each other. You know, like when I have our clergy seminar in February, you know, I am the happiest, like you as mothers and fathers, when you see your children on the, in a park, for example, on the grass outside, you feel proud of themselves. I have the same feeling. Well, I see all the clergy playing together, basketball, or running together, or walking together, or talking to each other. I praise God for that, because this is what we need to see. And we try to prosper it, and we try to work on that more and more. So, beloved in Christ, you and I, if we accept to be apostles, holy apostles, believe me, not only St. Andrew will grow, not only St. Andrew will rejoice, but the entire community and the whole universe will rejoice with us. So this is our objective, and this is our ministry, and this is what we try to keep doing. We try to keep doing this over and over and over. Even we know the material, even we know we have some knowledge, but we don't do it with force. We do it because we love to do it together. So I encourage you on this great feast of St. Andrew to be like your patron saint, Andrew, strong, committed, and no compromise. When we choose to be with him, we don't look back anymore. So we keep ahead. I pray for you, I pray for Father Josiah, I pray for all the clergy present here, those who are like, we love them dearly because they are doing his will. They are doing his will on earth as it is in heaven. So someday, you know, one day we make mistakes here or there, but God always watching over all of us to forgive us and to keep doing his will more and more. May all the blessing and the intercessions of St. Andrew, the patron and protector of this holy community, keep this holy community strong and mighty, and keep it, you know, like, prospering more and more. Amen.
Have mercy on us and keep us, O God, by thy grace, wisdom, that God it always, by thy might, we may ascribe glory unto thee, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages.